Today is a very solemn day in the church's calendar. Today, as we can see, it is the only day outside when the priest is being ordained that the priest lay on the altar. It is the only day in the church's year when masses are not celebrated anywhere in the church. There is a definite restraint about Good Friday. We are remembering the crucifixion of Jesus our Lord. That is why on this day, we gather at 3 o'clock in the afternoon because, according to the gospel, Jesus was crucified at 3 o'clock. There is something special about the liturgy of today. The centerpiece of our liturgy is the veneration of the cross. Our focus is on the wood of the cross on which hung the Savior of the world. Yet, if our liturgy has a sober quality, we do not gather in silence and sadness. We do not focus on the physical suffering of Jesus Christ. When the evangelist told the story of the passion and death of Jesus, they do not dwell much on the awful details of the actual crucifixion. Everyone at that time knows very well what crucifixion entails. The Gospels are more concerned with bringing out the deeper meaning of the death of Jesus. In the light of Easter, the first disciples come to understand that the passion and death of Jesus was a good news story, not a bad one. We too look at the passion and death of Jesus Christ in the light of Easter. Indeed, it is because Jesus was raised from the dead that the Friday on which he died and was crucified was called a Good Friday. We always see the cross of Jesus battered in the light of Easter. Some of the earliest artistic depictions of the crucifixion were of a triumphant Jesus spreading out his arms as one who has conquered sin and death, and calling on each and every one of us to come and share in his victory. We are here, my dear brothers and sisters, and have read and participated in the account of the passion and death of Jesus Christ according to St. John. It is his account more than any other that shows the passion and death of Jesus in the light of Easter. In John's Gospel, when Judas left the room of that Last Supper to betray Jesus, Jesus immediately declares, "Now the Son of Man has been glorified." St. John understands the crucifixion of Jesus as his glorification, the hour when he revealed the glory of God, the powerful presence of God's love. When Jesus was at his weakest on the cross, God was at his most powerful. God was powerfully at work and in and through the weakness of Jesus. In the same gospel, Jesus says of himself, "When I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw all people to myself." In the course of his public ministry, Jesus drew to himself people from Galilee and Jerusalem. However, when he was lifted up on the cross, he drew more people greater than those he did when he was alive. He drew all people to himself, people of every generation and every language and nation and culture. And we can ask, why would Jesus draw more people to himself at the hour of his greatest physical weakness? than during the time of his ministry when he was a vigorous young man. My dear brothers and sisters, the early church came to recognize that it was above all, as Jesus was being crucified, that God's unconditional love was powerfully present than during his ministry. In the words of St. John, he says, God so loved the world that he gave his only son. In the Garden of Gethsemane, he prayed that if it is possible, he should be spared of drinking the cup. Jesus did not want himself or any other one of us to suffer. He spent his life fighting suffering, healing the broken at every level, physical, moral, and spiritual. He stood against everything that was destructive of human life and living. He came so that we may have life and have it to the full. That is why he healed the broken, forgave sinners, and sought the lost. It was his total dedication to the life-giving work which resulted in his being crucified. His work of love aroused the hostility of the powerful people in his own time. My dear brothers and sisters, we gather here on this Good Friday because each and every one of us has been drawn by the God's love that's revealed in the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. We know from our experience that the best human love is creative and life-giving. It is healing and renewing. That is even true, my dear brothers and sisters, of God's love, which is why some artists depict the cross as a source of life. According to St. John's Gospel, from the pier side of Jesus, there poured out water and blood. If we remember, earlier in the Gospel of St. John, Jesus has offered that Samaritan woman living water that would satisfy her deepest thirst. He was speaking to her of the living water of God's Spirit, the Spirit of God's love. And from the cross, the Lord offers us that living water. He says to each and every one of us, let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. And so, my dear people of God, that is why we venerate the cross today. We are all spiritually thirsty, and we want to drink from that source of the living water of God's love, a love which is stronger than sin and death. So if Jesus spent his life doing good works, his death brought that work to completion. As we hear in today's gospel and passion reading, Jesus exclaimed at the moment of his death, it is accomplished, my work is finished. And so it is because of the cross of Jesus, the cross that is greater than any other human love which he showed, a divine love. It is because of this that we venerate the cross today, my dear brothers and sisters. In approaching the cross, let us always remember that we are approaching the throne of God's love. Let us always draw near to the cross with the conviction of St. Paul, who says his letter to the Galatians, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Our veneration of the cross is a way of expressing our gratitude for the incredible love of God revealed in Jesus' life, death, and resurrection, a life and love that is stronger than any human sin. And so as we venerate the cross, we invite the Lord to continue his life-giving work through us. We commit ourselves again and again to become channels of his love to others. In venerating the wood of the Lord's cross, we also promise to venerate and respond to his presence in the suffering of others. On this Good Friday, my dear brothers and sisters, as we venerate the one who suffered and was broken on our behalf, let us renew our desire to share his work of fighting suffering and healing brokenness in one another. And so, having venerated the cross in this liturgy, at the end, we are sent out to venerate the cross in the life of our loving service to the suffering, the weak, the venerable, the broken in our world. Let us, my dear brothers and sisters, not be afraid to always suffer for others, for Christ is hanging on the cross for each and every one of us. He also suffers for us each and every day. And so he is sending out each and every one of us after this celebration to go into the world and continue alleviating the suffering of the world and show each other that love that surpasses our sin and death through Christ our Lord.